Psalm 90. We will note in the heading that this is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. This is probably the oldest of all the Psalms. People tend to think of the Psalms as being the work of David, and he is, of course, the most frequent human writer. But there are several others, and one of them is Moses himself, through whom we have the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Here in the middle of the Psalms is this: Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, Return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for soon it is cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. We don't know when Moses wrote this. We don't know the occasion of it. But from what he writes, my guess, and the guess of some commentators anyway, is that this was written by Moses as he was moved by the Holy Spirit somewhere during the time of the Israelites, the Hebrews, pointlessly, it seemed, wandering around in the desert for 38 years. Just to give you the backstory a little bit, the people of God had been led by him out of Egypt and liberated. They had, after a few days or a couple of weeks, been able to journey as far as Sinai, and there they were for nearly a year. It was at that time they were receiving the law of God. It was at that time that, well, they received it several times. They received it in their ears from the mountaintop. They received it by first the tablets of stone which God engraved, and because of their unfaithfulness, their amazing unfaithfulness with the incident of the golden calf, why Moses just threw them and shattered them. God called him to make new ones after the people were turned around somewhat. It was then that slowly they made their way over several months up to the point where they could enter in, and they sinfully refused to go in, being frightened of man instead of being under the fear of God. And so God said, okay, you're afraid your children are going to be murdered? Watch what happens. I'm going to take you back out into the desert, and we're going to end up staying there until everyone dies, except for the two guys who said, let's go in, let's not be afraid of these people, God's with us, remember what he did to the Egyptians. Caleb and Joshua alone will go in. Everybody else, age 20 and older, you're going to die. You're going to drop dead. One thing or another will get you. You'll get sunstroke, you may get scorpion bites, you may just drop over with a heart attack, or whatever, a rock may fall on a cliff over top of you, but I'm going to make sure you're dead. and your life is going to seem pointless. This is my guess, the probable context for this. But it is a psalm for all the church of God in all days. That's why it's in the book of Psalms. There are other poetical compositions throughout the Old Testament that were for a particular time and place and are useful for our teaching in their context, but for praise, for use in the church as praise throughout all ages. Out of everything that Moses wrote, only this psalm is given for our praise in the church in all days. It contrasts, folks, the futility of life under sin, the futility of life apart from God, and contrast that futility with God's eternity and his greatness. Life outside of him is futile. It may go on 70 years. It may go on 80. For Moses, it went to 120. But not even he got to go into the earthly promised land that we trust he has been abiding in God's presence in, that land where there is no death, for these 3,000 and more years. But he never got into the physical land of promise. Again, only Caleb and only Joshua did. For the rest of them, life seemed pretty pointless. Just wander around till we all die, so our children can finally go in. And that's how we see, you know, there's not much point to things, and we see your wrath, we see your terror, and it brings us to our doom. We are consumed by your anger and by your wrath. We are terrified. You've set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance, there in verses 7 and 8. While our days have passed away in your wrath, we finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they're 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it's soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Here's where things change. The people, and there, I'm sure there were some who were godly in the midst, or at least who were brought to godliness, who were brought to repentance, they came to see that Jehovah was faithful. He always would abide faithful. And they could appeal to him to have mercy, and particularly for their children, that formerly they were frightened. They weren't frightened of them. They were frightened for them. And so it is that in faith, Moses, for the people, could say, "Return, not O God, but O Jehovah. How long, and have compassion on your servants." And with this, he continues to pray that God would show them that things are not pointless, that his eternal faithfulness was still true for these people. And he would have them to have his beauty upon them, and he would establish the work of their hands in their rearing up of godly seed who would go in, the faithful generation that went in under the leadership of Joshua to conquer the land. Now, in all this, friends, we need to be praying that we too would be numbering our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. For children, it's hard to conceive, but a so-called long life ends like that. It doesn't seem long when you're near the end of it. Children, I'm 61 years old, almost 62. That's not as old as a few people here, but it's older than most of you. And it seems like that. You think that's a long, long time. Some of you have grandparents that old or younger, and you think, wow, that's a long, long time. I guess it is, but I'm less than 10 years away from that 70, as the old King James has it. Less than 10 years, just a little over 8 years from that 70. And it's gone like that. It's gone like that. Time goes fast. Only God is eternal. And we must see that all things be done in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who secured the covenant of grace for us. Because only in him is their life. Only in him is there a meaning. Only in him is there a point to anything. Without him, We do indeed fly away. We are gone and our works perish after us, and we are soon forgotten by the world. And if that's where our only hope is, that's where our hope perishes. And what happens after we're gone? Well, it's too horrible to think about all that much. But if we're in Jesus Christ, the eternal love and the eternal power of our Father in heaven is ours, and the work of our hands will be established. Now, it may be that the world will forget about us, but we are kept in remembrance and we are kept in eternal and everlasting life by Jehovah, by our Father in heaven, by our Savior who has come to earth to save us and gone again to heaven, and by the Holy Spirit who abides in our hearts. Our works do follow after us, as we see in Revelation 14:3. They follow after us because we're in Jesus Christ. We receive all the blessings of His eternal goodness, His eternal grace.